For a background reading this morning, I'm going to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. And then from the 8th chapter of Luke in the first 15 verses. Isaiah 6 is the answer of God's call from the prophet Isaiah. And so I'm going to read that account, verse 9 through 13. And he, that being God, said, "Go and tell this people," excuse me, I'm going to start with verse 8. "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed.' Then said I, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof.'" I'm going to explain that. Isaiah was, he heard a voice from the Lord. And God said, who will go for me? Who will go for us, it actually says, speaking probably about the Trinity. The same way in the book of Genesis, when it said, "Let us make man out of our image." But no doubt the call went out, who will go on behalf of God to preach for the people? And Isaiah responded to God's call and said, "Here am I, send me." I want us just to reflect on that call for a moment. God is calling for laborers to go into his harvest. Who will speak up for God? Who will serve him in the midst of a dark generation? Is there anyone that will stand up like Isaiah and say, "God, here I am, send me"? Isaiah responded to God's call, and when God called, he said, "Yes, I will go." We're living in a day where people think it's optional to respond to the voice of the Lord. Where people feel like that they can weigh out and try God or weigh him in the balance and say, "Well, perhaps if it's convenient," but not Isaiah. Isaiah had had his heart softened. And when the call of God came for him, he said, "Here am I, send me." And may we have a heart like that toward the voice of God. May we be willing when God says to go, that we will go. That when God says to do something, we will say, "Yes, Lord, I will go." But then God says to Isaiah, the people's heart will be hardened. They will not hear the message that you preach. They will see, but they will not perceive. They will hear, but they will not understand. They will feel, but they will not believe. Their heart will be hardened to your word. Now, how about that? Lord, I'll go and preach. I'll go and serve you. And he says, "You're going to go and serve me, but it's going to be ineffective. People are not going to listen to you. They're not going to respond to you, but I want you to go. And he said, Lord, how long? Which is an appropriate, how long will I go and try to serve you when seemingly no one responds to your word? And he said, basically until the very end, until everything is basically left desolate, until there's no more there, but there'll be a remnant, and there'll be a tenth, there'll be a portion that remain. And he finishes it and he says, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now I want us to turn to Luke chapter 8. Today's message is going to be an encouragement to the church and also a warning to those of us that are hearing God's word that we would be ready to respond to it. I think sometimes the church is discouraged because we preach the word and it seems like the response is very little. We long for the days of harvest. We long for the days of reaping and being able to see God do a great work. But in the meantime, He has called us to labor. He has called us to work for Him. He has called us to do the things that He's called us to do, to preach the Word of God. And Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 8. It's known as the parable of the sower. But it's a reminder to us that people receive God's Word in different ways. Some of them won't receive it. Some of them won't hear it. But some of them will. That's an encouragement to the church today. To those of us that maybe, like Isaiah would say, oh Lord, how long? How long do I continue to labor when it seems like people are dull to the hearing of the word of God? And he would say to the very end, but he gives us an encouragement that some will hear it. As I read this parable, I also want to say that it's a warning to us as individuals about how we hear the word of God. Are we with open and honest hearts hearing what God says to us? And does that take an effect in our life and bear fruit? I think that's a good question for us to ask. Am I open to what God is saying to me? Let's read the parable, Luke chapter 8. And it actually starts by telling us that there were a lot of people that were following Jesus. Also a lot of women that responded to the gospel call. And Luke, several times in his gospel account, gives a record of how that women played a vital role in his church. I'm not going to spend much time there, but I just want you to note it as I read it, that ladies, I think sometimes we focus so much on the work that men have, you're going to see that Jesus highly valued the work of women in his church. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read the parable now. And it came to pass afterwards that he went out throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And so that is just saying that there were women, both poor and rich, that were called and responded to God's call. And they went with the 12, and they used of their substance that they had received to help supply the needs of Jesus and the disciples, which I suppose I had not ever stopped to think about that before. And when the people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, And as soon as it was spring up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And so some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That word patience also means perseverance or endurance. And that's where we'll stop our reading today. Jesus oftentimes preached in parables. He taught in story. He lived in a generation that was heavily agricultural. And as we describe some of these things, I found that maybe it's helpful to explain the illustration. Though the people that heard it in his day had no need to hear the illustration explained, because it was very common to them. Spreading seed upon different types of ground would have been fully understood by the people of Jesus' day. It was a common practice not to cultivate or work the ground, but just spread the seed, and wherever it fell, that was the ground that they would harvest from. And there were different types of ground that the seed could fall upon. But Jesus spoke in parables, and the purpose of a parable is a fable or an allegory that relates or represents something real in life or in nature from which you would draw a moral instruction. So the idea is to tell you something that you fully understand, that you might draw from it something spiritual that's very difficult to understand. The concept of the kingdom of God is hard to understand. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and it was foreign to the people that heard him, so he would use parables to take something that was very common to them that he could relate, and they could draw from it a moral or a spiritual instruction. Jesus' point of his parable wasn't really about seeds and crops. It wasn't about grain at all. It was about the spiritual condition of men's hearts. But he used the parables so that the people of God could understand the concepts of the kingdom. And also that it would be a warning to those that were on the outside looking in, and a testimony against them that they reject even the simplest of messages. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way, because this was one of the hardest concepts of this passage for me. I've always struggled with this. When they asked Jesus why he spoke in parables, "Jesus, why do you tell these stories?" And it's not what you would think. His answer is different than what you might expect him to say. He used the passage from Isaiah. And he said in verse 10, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." And Jesus often said things that were difficult to understand. I think verse 10 is difficult to understand. His explanation to me is hard for me to understand. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, "I'm not sure I get it"? If you said, "Well, not really," then I need to talk to you after service. Because I find often I read the Bible and there's things in there that are hard to understand. What did Jesus mean? That he tells parables that seeing they see not and hearing they do not understand. There's no doubt that he was referring to Isaiah 6. But what does that mean? Well, first of all, let's just kind of break that down. He said, "Unto the disciples, unto those that believed, it was theirs to understand the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of God." That he had revealed unto them the things that otherwise people could not understand. Most of Jesus' teachings was geared toward his people. He was building up a church. He was teaching people that were believers what it was to follow him. And so he says, "This is yours. If you're a believer, I want you to hear and I want you to understand." And the parables help you to understand the Word of God. That should make us as his children just maybe get a little bit excited that God wants us to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. And it's not that they're secrets in the sense that he tries to hide them, but it's secret in the sense that it's a mystery. There are things about the gospel that are mysterious. And as I proclaim the truth of God's word, I realize that some of the things that I preach unto you that are believers, they're precious. When I speak about the crucifixion and the blood flowing down the Calvary's cross and about the burial and the resurrection and the way that God uses his church, God's people are filled and they're fed. But the world says, "What about a man that died on a cross 2,000 years ago? Why does that mean anything? And what a bloody religion. And why do they care so much about the cross?" And you see, the difference is not in the message. The difference is in the heart that receives the message. Amen. To the believer, he says, "I make it easier for you to understand by telling parables. You'll hear the story and it'll relate to you and you'll go, 'Aha, I get it. It makes sense to me.'" But to the one that does not mix the hearing with faith, it's foreign. In Isaiah, God was telling Isaiah about the hardness of Israel's heart, that you'll go and preach to them and they will not understand. I have to believe that what Jesus was saying is that I make it simple for you and you still reject the word of God. It's a testimony against you that even though you hear the simplicity of God's word and I try to relate it to the things every day, yet if you do not believe, it's foreign to you. And that is a warning. It's not good enough to say, "I just don't get it. I come to church and I hear the preacher and I don't have any belief in God and the things that he says, they don't make sense to me." That's not a problem with the word, it's a problem with the reception of the word. Because Jesus preached a simple message. How hard is this to understand? Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Confess your sins to God. Trust in my Son and I will give you everlasting life. And you say, "Well, I just wish I knew what to do. I just wish I could understand what it is the preacher tells me to do." And we say, "Repent. Put your faith in God. Surrender to him. He will speak into your heart eternal life and peace." And you say, "If I only knew what to do. If I only knew how to respond." And the preacher says, "Pray. call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And you walk away and say, if only I knew what it was for me. You see, the problem is not that the word is not clear. The problem is the reception of the heart that hears the word. So Jesus says, I speak in parables. And to the people that believe, they understand. But to those that reject me, it's a testimony against them. It's the best I can do for you to explain verse 10. So Jesus told parables. And so as we're telling about this parable and this story, we can relate the things that we understand to things that are mysteries of the kingdom of God. But before we get into the parable, I want to just say that I think part of the crux of this whole message is his cry in the middle of the parable. And what did Jesus cry? The word cry means that he wasn't just saying it in a soft tone. He was elevating his voice so that everybody understood the importance of it. And what was his cry? He cried a very short sentence. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. That was his cry. And I had to bring that up because I think that is the center of this text today. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. We approach God in very different ways at different times. Sometimes we come to God, we come to church even. We attend the sanctuary. We come, we sit ourselves in the pew, and we're just kind of trying to make sure that we've done our duty. And I've got my hour in, or 45 minutes in the Word, and check, it's righteousness to me. I've been to church, and I'll tell all my coworkers that I go to church. You know, that's not probably enough. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Meaning, and I know I speak loud, so I know that you can hear me. I'm pretty sure. Connie, can you hear me? Yes, she's nodding. So everybody can hear me. If Connie can hear me, everybody can hear me. I'm not making fun. I just know that that's the truth. So you can hear me, but Jesus wasn't speaking about just hearing the vibration in the air. He was talking about hearing the word that's preached. And sometimes we come to God and spiritually speaking, we are stopping up our ears. We don't want to hear the message we don't want to hear. So we close our ears and we say, I'm here, Lord. I wish you could speak to me. And then because we're afraid of what we might hear. What we might hear might expose something inside of our heart. What we might hear might make us feel guilt or condemnation. What we might hear might cause us to change our life. So, Jesus says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. If we've been honest with God, we need to open our spiritual ears, the ears of our heart, and be willing to hear and listen to whatever it is that he says to us. Serving God is about listening. It's about listening to the voice of God through his written word and by his Holy Spirit, that we might be able to follow him and do those things that he said to do. So may we have honest hearts. May we have open ears and open hearts to hear what God says to us. Some of you are today lost in your sins. You've never been saved. The Holy Spirit has convinced you of the fact that you're a sinner and that you're lost and that you need to be saved. And some of you have heard that and you're wrestling with that. Even stopping up your ears, hoping that you won't feel bad, hoping you can avoid the conviction and the condemnation that comes by hearing the Word of God. The heart that receives the Word of God openly and honestly will bear fruit. But there are different ways of plugging up our ears. So Jesus says to all of us, his cry, his impassioned plea to you and to me is, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when God speaks, I'm not talking about my voice, but when God speaks and you hear the voice of the Lord and you sense the moving of God upon your heart, be willing to listen
and be willing to respond. Be willing to say yes, Lord, to whatever it is He says to do. For God, when He sends His Spirit to you, when He shares His Word with you, when He speaks to you, He will lead you right. I long for a day when more and more people will respond to the Word of God. That people will get beyond just feeling like there was a nice message that they received on a Sunday morning, but to say, I heard from God. Amen. I heard His voice. I heard His draw. I felt Him leading me. And I was confronted with having to make a decision about would I turn Him away or would I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what Jesus is saying. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus told a parable to help us to understand. And the parable was about a sower and a seed. And you get the idea that probably before the equipment being the way that it is and the difficulties of cultivating a field, there were a lot of people that just went out and they took their seed baskets or whatever and they would just go out and they would sow spread their seed upon the ground. And you know, they were hoping that God would bless it with maybe tenfold or maybe 15-fold. That would be if they could get that would be a good year. If God would bless with fruit from their seed that they were sowing. And anybody that's put seed in the ground knows that you have to do that with faith. Now, anybody that's ever put seed in the ground knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because that's a lot of money that you're putting in the soil. And sometimes it's not even your money. Sometimes you're borrowing someone else's money to put the seed in the soil. And what are you dependent upon? Well, the goodness of the soil, but also everything else. The conditions, the rain, the sunshine. And you're completely helpless. And I'm causing some farmers right now to despair. But you see the idea, the illustration, is that as you sow the seed, you're hopeful, you're prayerful that maybe 10 or 15 fold will come back to you. That'd be a good year. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. He explained the parable. He doesn't always do this, but on this parable, He explained it and He said the seed is the Word of God. And the idea is that we are to spread our seed, the Word of God, generously. Now, the sower is Jesus, or maybe any faithful minister of Jesus Christ that is out sharing the Word of God. And you get the idea that as he preaches the Word of God about Jesus, about the gospel message, about how that Jesus saves, about how that if you turn your heart to God and you find Christ as your Savior, you can have everlasting life. When you preach the messages about Christ, it's like a sower sowing seed. And my friend, that seed is always good. The seed of the kingdom, the gospel, the Word of God, is always good. There's a Psalm 126:6. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now we sing a song, bringing in the sheaves. And some of you may say, what does that even mean? And the idea is that if with tears of weeping and with prayers you sow your seed, in other words, you share the Word of God and you accompany that Word of God with prayer. And my friend, as God's ministers preach the gospel, His church need to be people that are praying for the effectiveness of the Word of God in the hearts of men. As a church, we have an obligation as the minister is preaching to be praying, oh God, make that Word be effective in the hearts of men. And the psalmist says, the one that sows his seeds with tears will come with joy, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, at harvest time, he's going to be bringing in the harvest. And in other words, that as people pray for the Word of God as it goes out and it goes into the hearts of men, and God's people are praying that it would be effective in their hearts, that one day a harvest will come.
and that people will be saved, and we will be able to rejoice in the fact that people have come to know the Lord. And that's a good day when we're bringing in the sheaves and we're rejoicing with people that have come from their ways of sin and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they've been saved. My friend, I want you to know that whenever you get saved for the lost people, when you get saved, you'll have a whole church and a whole community of people that will rejoice with you because salvation is the greatest thing that there is. Oh, when the Word of God goes out, it's always good. The Word of God is pure and it's righteous altogether. There's not a part of God's Word that is not pure. All of it's pure. And as it goes out and is spread out, we know that there's nothing wrong with the seed. I've got a verse on my wall right now because of my good friend Sarah. She painted. I had a word on my desk. It was on a piece of paper. And for Christmas, she painted that verse on a board. And that sits on my wall right now. And here's what that verse says. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper this or that. Or whether they both shall alike be good. And I put that in my office as a reminder. Do the right thing. Do the thing God wants you to do. Do it in the morning. Do it in the evening. Never cease to do what God wants you to do, for you don't know which one will make a difference. Whether one or the other or both alike will make a difference. So keep on being diligent. I look at it every day. Because there's discouragements that come up in this life. There's things that people say it doesn't do any good. You might as well not even try. Don't they? Oh, why even? And if it's not from without, it's from within. If nobody's saying it on the outside, you start saying that to yourself. Why should I even do the right thing? Why does it even matter? Does God even know? And the devil is just the author of confusion. So the Word of God shines through that confusion and says, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know whether this or that or both alike will be good. And it encourages you. Well, I hope you get encouragement from the Word of God. The Word of God, whenever it's spoken, whenever it's read, it encourages us to keep on going. And my friend to the church, it's an encouragement for us to continue to sow the seed, for the seed is good. Keep participating in the church. You've got lost family members. Keep bringing them to church. Keep doing the things that you know will yield itself to a harvest one day. And one of these days, God will bless it in such a way that you'll be blown away. I can't wait to see Judy Sutt on Monday. And I'm going to tell her, praise God. I had no idea what you were going through, but you just kept on keeping on and God saved your family. God will take care of you. Just continue to sow the seed. And you get the idea that the seed, the sower has got his seed basket and he's just sowing his seed and he knows that some of it went on the path and he has to think, you know, I'm just not sure anything is going to come of that, but it might. So I'm just going to keep on sowing my seed. So we used to go, well, we still are going on the trip to Tennessee, but how many of you remember Ivert Bovey? Ivert Bovey was a bus driver that we had. And man, he could talk from Bolivar, Missouri to Lexington, Tennessee. Almost nonstop, but he always had something to share. But one of those things stuck with me. Ivert Bovey, he said, as Christians, we need to have leaky seed baskets. Oh, what in the world do you mean by that? That was a parable. I was like, Ivert, maybe I'm just not there. But what he was saying was, is it's okay if the seed basket has a hole in it and some fall out that you didn't even mean to share. So as Christians, we need to be doing what God wants us to do. Or sometimes we don't even know that we're putting seed out there, but we're putting seed out there. You know, he's right about that. If we just try to serve the Lord, sometimes some of that seed might fall out. And who knows what God might do with it. The seed is the Word of God. And the seed is good. But sometimes the seed falls on different kinds of ground. And Jesus was wanting to make sure it was known that not everybody is in the same place when they hear the Word of God. Some people are hardened. He gave four different types of ground. The wayside,
That's the path. The rocky ground. The thorny ground. And the good ground. Now, as we get into this, I just want to make sure you understand that Jesus was commending one type of ground. I know everybody gets into this. Well, are you kind of you think one of them saved, or two of them saved, or three of them saved, or all of them? Eh, we know one of them wasn't because he said they weren't, but you're missing the point. He was only commending one type of ground. He called it the good ground. And the other kinds he was warning against. So we need to be warned against being the type of hearers that Jesus warned against. And then seek to be the kind of hearer that he commended. What were the ones that he warned against? First of all, he said sometimes seed falls on the path. And the path is the place where people trod and they walk. And what happens to the ground that people walk upon? It gets hardened. So the idea is that sometimes the seed falls upon the path. Sometimes the word of God goes to people that have hardened hearts. Maybe they've been hardened by the circumstances of this world. Maybe they're bitter. And I just want to be transparent with you today. It's not so unusual that people come to God's house or hear God's word with bitter hearts. Maybe even complaining to God. Maybe even upset at God. Mad at God. They hear the word of God and it infuriates them. And you see, sometimes people hear with a hardened heart. They're just not ready to receive it because inside they're calloused. I heard a brother talk about having a calloused heart like we have calloused hands. He said the calloused hands are calloused because we rub up against things and there's like a protection that goes against them that we might not feel pain. And he said we've got to be careful not to have a calloused heart. That we rub up against so many things that we become hardened and we can't feel pain. We can't feel joy. We can't feel anything. I just say to you that that's no way to be. You might put up a mechanism of protection and say, I want to be numb because I don't want to feel the things that I feel sometimes. Numb is a terrible place to be. The worst place to be is to be in outside of the will of God and to say, I just can't feel anything. I just can't feel anything. Why? Because that word goes onto the hardened heart, and the Bible says that the devil comes and snatches it away that it might not penetrate into the ground, that a person might not hear and believe and be saved. So sometimes people hear with a hardened heart. The second type of ground, the rocky ground. This one says it's a rock. Another place where this parable is told it was a rocky ground. But the idea is that the heart was ready to receive it, but it was shallow. And it received the seed with no depth and no root. One place says, and on with joy they received the word. The promises of the gospel sounded good to them. In fact, why wouldn't it sound good? Have heaven for your home, to be forgiven of your sins. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? And so some people believe with a superficial faith. And they receive it quickly, and they're real spontaneous to react and say, yes, I'll take the promises of God. But yet, there is no moisture, and there is no root, and it's on shallow ground. And he says, as soon as something comes in way of a temptation or an offense, they scatter away. They fall away. Now, I just want you to be clear about this. The Bible teaches us that once we're saved, we're always saved. So he doesn't say that someone heard the word, believed with saving faith, and then lost it. No, either what it means is that it wasn't saving faith, it was superficial faith, and they never had it and they flee, or they fall out of fellowship. But either way, it's not good. And sometimes we're willing to accept the promises of God, but we're not willing to hear the hard things that God has to say.
Amen.
Maybe we're willing to say we want heaven for our home, but not willing to surrender to His Lordship. Maybe we're saying we're willing to have eternal life, but we're not willing to lower ourselves down and repent with a broken and a contrite heart. You see, if we're going to respond to the gospel, we can't respond to it superficially or nominally. Sometimes people will respond to the gospel in order to show their friends that they're a believer. But when it comes down to our relationship with God, it's about us and God and getting that thing right. The third ground was thorny ground. This was the ground that hears and at least nominally believes, but the cares of the world choke out their life to unfruitfulness. Now, I think this is pretty common, especially whenever people have so many distractions like we have today. And the Word of God comes, and while we're here and we're quiet for a few moments, a person hears and they're like, their heart says, "That's what I need. That's what I need. I need the things that the preacher's talking about." And so they latch on to it while they're here. But then the cares of this life choke out their life to unfruitfulness. I think those thorns might in some context be seen as good things, but they choke out the best things. I think the church is actually struggling with this one right now. That we have so many good things that it chokes out the best things. That we have things in our life that otherwise in their own context would be good, but whenever they compete against the things of God, they become hurtful. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The things of this world are so temporary. People give their lives to them, to money, to power, to pride, to position. People set off to make great names for themselves. And meanwhile, what was at one time healthy ambition becomes unbridled ambition. And whenever maybe a simple and honest desire for some pleasure becomes the love of pleasure. And you see those things can take, you know, if you see the seed growing up and the thorns growing up at the same time, at first it seems everything's fine. But over time, as those thorns grow, they choke out the fruitfulness of the person. I'm going to be a little hard with this, but I want to say that if you're going to be a faithful Christian and serve Him, you're going to have to sacrifice some things.
Amen.
You're going to have to say no to some things that you would otherwise say yes to. Sometimes you're going to have to say no to the things of the world so that you can say yes to the things of God. And this idea that we can serve God at our convenience is a false teaching. He either takes all of us or none of us. Hear me. There is too much of this going on in the Lord's church today. I will serve God on my calendar, under my circumstances, at my convenience. God is not served that way. An approach like that will cause fruitfulness to be choked out, and eventually the land will be barren. If we try to serve God on our terms, whether it's seeking God on our terms for salvation or living for God on our terms in the Christian life, that will be unfruitful.
We finally have to get to a place in our life where we say no to the things of the world and yes to the things of God. And my friend, that crossroad is presented to us on nearly a daily basis. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to serve me and do it my way, or are you going to do it your way? And the more you say, I'm going to do it my way, the more you lose fruitfulness in the work of God. And the more you say no to your life and yes to the life of God, the more you find His help and fruit bearing in your life. And you'll say, you know, I'm so glad, for I would have messed that thing up. But God has helped me. He's helped me to save me from myself. Now, I speak the truth, and you might be frustrated with me about it, but there's too much of that happens, because in our culture we're taught, just do it your way. Just do it as it pleases you. If you're not happy, change things until you're happy. That's not the way to go. You serve God, you'll be blessed. And being blessed and filled with joy is better than happy. Because joy will carry with you into the valley. Huh? Joy will go with you into the depths. And when everything is gone, and you've clung to God in your life, and you realize the same God that was on the mountaintop is with you in the valley, you'll say, that's life. But it won't come with this easy believism that we see in our culture today, that I just do it my way. But the encouragement is, and we'll close with this one, some fell on hardened paths. Some fell on shallow ground, rocky ground. Some fell on ground with thorns. But some fell on good ground. Now, what's the good ground? The good ground, he says, is an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and brought forth fruit with patience. Did you hear that? I can't say it better than Jesus said it. But I'll say what Jesus said again. A good heart, an honest heart, having heard the word, kept it, and brought forth fruit with patience or endurance or perseverance. In other words, you hear the word of God and you say, yes, Lord. And you receive it and you keep what he says and you do what he says. Not with perfection, because we know that we're struggling with this flesh, but that day by day we try to crucify this flesh and keep his word. He said sometimes that word falls on good ground. And when it hits good ground and it's good seed, and the water of the Spirit comes upon it, it grows and it brings forth in abundance. The sower was hoping for tenfold. He thought maybe if this was a good year, we might get 15-fold. But what did the ground bring forth? 100-fold. 100-fold is also a picture. And what the picture is, the abundance of God's blessings. Isn't it good when the good word hits an honest and open heart? And it starts taking fruit, and what comes from that is not just a little bit of fruit. Not even the fruit you might expect, but the abundance of God's blessings. I'm almost finished here, but I want to brag on my granny, so give me 5 minutes. My granny passed away this week. When I was a child, I had two sets of grandparents, and I loved them both dearly. But they couldn't have been two different sets of grandparents. They were as completely different as night and day. My grandfather, Calhoun, made a lot of money in his life. He was a businessman, and he was a good man. I have a lot of respect for him. If you know me, you know I have a lot of respect for both my grandpas. I revere them as my heroes, so I don't mean anything about this. But I'll tell you,
serving the Lord was not a priority in their life. Now they loved me, and I loved them, and I don't have anything negative to say. My poppy and granny, they lived pretty conservatively. They didn't really make a lot of money, but if they had money, it was because they didn't spend it. My granddad, Poppy, was saved in a foxhole in World War II. I can't retell his testimony, but what happened to him was he was in the middle of enemy crossfire and God told him to stand up. And he stood up and everything was peaceful. And the Lord saved him right there. And he made a commitment. When I get home, I'm going to go up there and join that church. And he did. And he got baptized and he joined Halfway Church and he was a deacon there my whole life for a long time. My granny was saved at the age of 12 at Fairview Baptist Church in Sparta, and she joined Halfway Church right after they got married. And they lived a life that was simple. Didn't have a lot of things that this world has to offer. But they loved God and they put Him first. And I watched over the years and I admired their life, not because of the things they gained in this world, but because of the faith they had in the Lord. And I saw how that little seed got into a good heart. And God brought forth 100-fold. Now, they would like their family to be a little different than it is right now, I'm sure. Not everything was a success, but I looked out upon a congregation and I thought, man, we have been recipients of the bounty of God's blessings in our family. God will do things that you can't even imagine with your life. If you'll come to Him with an open and honest heart. If whenever He comes and knocks on your heart, you say, yes, Lord, He'll bless your family. He'll bless your life. If you say, oh God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. No matter how I feel about it, I'll do what you want me to do. He will not only bless you 10-fold or 15-fold, but 100-fold. And that's the parable of the sower and the seed. Is if the heart is ready to receive it and the heart is good, that seed is good and it brings forth the abundance of God's blessings. Do you want the abundance of God's blessings on your life? Come to God with an open and an honest heart. Hearing the word, receive it, keep it, do what He says, and He will shower down His blessings upon your life. Refuse to be the hardened heart. Refuse to be the shallow ground. Refuse to be the place with thorns. Say, God, help me. Cultivate my ground. Break up the fallow ground of my heart. May my heart be good. May my heart be ready to receive the word with openness and honesty. And if you'll pray like that and do that and seek God that way, He'll bless your life. He'll bless it abundantly. And I'll close with the words of Jesus. And he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. We might have a word of prayer, then we'll have a song. Our God and our Father today, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, dear God, for Your spirit. And we thank You, dear God, for the hearers that hear with an open and an honest heart. I pray that You'd give us all open and honest hearts that we could receive Your word. I pray, dear God, if there's any here today that are lost and they're searching for You, that they would seek You today, they would find You, that You would give them the faith to put their trust in You, that they might be saved, that they might have everlasting life. And I pray that You'd bless this church. May we continue to spread the seed of God's word over and over and over again, knowing that one day You'll bring the harvest.
And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and why don't we sing? And I just pray that if God is speaking to your heart, that you'd hear His voice and that you'd say yes. If God is dealing with you, that you'd respond in a way that would be pleasing in His sight.